Okay, I have one more point that I want to speak about as a preface to the Mesillas Yesharim's rendition of what the purpose of creation is, the purpose of man, at least, within creation. And then we'll go into the Mesillas Yesharim itself, except I think that next week we're going to say what he says in the other version of the Mesillas Yesharim, the Vikuach one, where he says what the other alternative is of what the purpose of creation is, and then says what the real one is. So I think we'll learn that inside. Here he doesn't do that. Here he goes right to what the positive is. But there's one other point that I want to speak about, which I spoke about 2 weeks ago, I think, in the Drasha, partially, in another context, and that's the following. In general, what we've said as a preface to what the Mesillas Yesharim is going to say, that the purpose of the creation of man is basically God wanted to shower his goodness on man, that he should be able to have that eternal pleasure of Olam Haba, and he wanted him to appreciate it, so he put him in this world to create it and deserve it and earn it. L'cha'ora, that puts the whole Avodas Hashem into a mode that seems to be Al-Manas L'Kabel Schar. And that's the essence. And it says in Pirkei Avos, not to be Kavodim HaMasham Shemesarav Al-Manas L'Kabel Schar. And yet the whole purpose is that we want to get the world to come in order that we should enjoy that reward that the Ravon Hashem wanted to shower on us. Now, there is an opinion that Al-Manas L'Kabel Pras is not the same thing as Al-Manas L'Kabel Schar. That it's perfectly okay to serve God in order to get the reward that He intends for us. That is the purpose of creation. Pras means a portion of that reward in this world. Pras always means a portion. So, the problem is not having in mind that you're serving the Ribbono Shel Olam for the sake of Olam Haba, that's fine. It's for the sake of reward in this world, just being satisfied with the pras, with the portion, with the little bit, with the crumbs, that's the problem. But serving God for the sake of Olam Haba is perfectly okay. There is an opinion like that in the Rishonim, and in the explanation of Pirkei Avos. And therefore, serving the Ribbono Shel Olam for the sake of Olam Haba is perfectly okay. The Rambam, however, says not like that. The Rambam says that serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, even with the intention of getting Olam Haba, is called Shelo Lishma. That's not for the real sake of heaven, for the altruistic sake of service to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Service to the Ribbono Shel Olam is because that's the MS, that's what's proper, and that is the goal of the ultimate goal of service to the Ribbono Shel Olam without any thought of any kind of reward, even Olam Haba. The Rambam is clear. Even Olam Haba is called Shelo Lishma. But that seems to contradict the whole purpose of creation. Then, if the whole purpose of creation was that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to shower His goodness, and we should serve Him in order to get Olam Haba, right? Then that becomes Shelo Lishma. Then how can the Rambam say that doing that is not what's proper, right? If that was the purpose of creation, so there are a few ways of answering that question. Anybody want to? Yeah.
That's the highest pleasure, the greatest pleasure in life, and so therefore that would be the whole reason that we would be getting the greatest pleasure.
I understand, but if you have intention that I'm serving God so I can get the greatest pleasure that there is, which is Olam Haba, the Rambam says that is not the ideal way of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's called Shelo Lishma. I'm not doing it for the altruistic purpose because it's the right thing and it's good or whatever. I'm doing it because I want to get rewarded.
If we do it for total lishma, that we're just doing it because that's what Hashem wants from us, but Hashem wants us to have the greatest pleasure in life, so then...
Okay, that is what we spoke about in the Drasha, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's one way of answering the question. One way of answering it is, let's use Shabbos as an example. Okay, there's a mitzvah of onig Shabbos. That means you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. You're supposed to eat and drink and enjoy the Shabbos. Now, you can do that in one of two ways. I love to eat and drink. I love cholent. I love whatever, what's it called, kishka and whatever, kugel, and right? And there's a mitzvah to enjoy yourself on Shabbos, and I'm enjoying myself. That's shelo lishma. Or then there's an idea of, there's a mitzvah to, the Rabban Shalom wants me to enjoy Shabbos, right, as a mitzvah. Not because it's I like it, but because I'm supposed to enjoy myself l'shem mitzvah. So I'm not enjoying myself because the Rabban Shalom gave me permission to enjoy myself on Shabbos. That's shelo lishma. But the Rabban Shalom wants me to enjoy myself. I'm not enjoying myself because I enjoy it. I'm enjoying myself because that's what the Rabban Shalom wants me to do. So the purpose of my enjoyment is not to enjoy. It's to fulfill God's will that I enjoy. Very thin line between the two. Right? Is the purpose the enjoyment, or is the purpose to do God's will, but God's will is that I should be enjoyed. So I have to enjoy. But I'm not doing it because I want to enjoy. I'm doing it because I want to serve the Rabban Shalom, and he wants me to enjoy.
But isn't there a high level that you're doing it with Hashem wants you to do, but you're enjoying it as well? You put yourself into the enjoyment.
That's what we're saying. That's exactly the point. Right? That is, so the enjoyment is not the goal of doing it because I want to enjoy. The goal is I want to do what the Rabban Shalom wants for me. But the Rabban Shalom wants me to enjoy it. So I want to enjoy because the Rabban Shalom wants me to enjoy, not because I enjoy.
Yeah, but how do you enjoy? Right? Eating the cholent?
Yeah, fine. But I'm not doing it because I enjoy eating cholent. I'm doing it because the Rabban Shalom wants me to enjoy it, and the way that I can fulfill that is by eating cholent.
Even though you're enjoying it.
Right.
No, but let's take something you don't like. Let's say you hate cholent.
Right. Yeah, but there's no mitzvah to eat cholent on Shabbat. There's mitzvah to enjoy the Shabbat.
Would you enjoy it if it weren't so pleasurable?
The Rabban Shalom wants it to be pleasurable to me. Enjoyment means pleasure. The Rabban Shalom wants me to have pleasure on Shabbos. Now, I can have that pleasure because I enjoy pleasure. Or I can have the pleasure because the Rabban Shalom wants me to have pleasure. If it's the second way, it's still the Shem Shemayim 100%. If it's the first way, then that's what the Rambam says is Shalom Lishma. Memela, same thing with, I want to serve the Rabban Shalom, and I want to do Ratzon Hashem. What is God's will? That He shower His goodness on me eternally, that I earn it, and that I enjoy it. That I have that pleasure of having that connection to the Rabban Shalom. So if my intention is, I want to do all these mitzvahs because I want the pleasure of Olam Haba, then that's shelo lishma. That's what the Rambam's talking about. That's shelo lishma. But if the idea is I'm doing these mitzvahs because I want to fulfill God's will, happens to be that God's will is that I have pleasure eternally. So I want to have that pleasure eternally, not because I want the pleasure, but because by having that pleasure, I'm going to be fulfilling God's will. There's a very thin line between them. One is called lishma, and the other one's called shelo lishma. It's a high level of shelo lishma, but it's still shelo lishma. Right. It could be that that's also l'shem shamayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was the Rabban Shalom wants to give me that schar. He wants me to be in Eretz Israel to get that schar, and therefore I want to fulfill. And when the Rabban Shalom told him that's not what I want, so fine. That's not what you want. You know what? That's what you want.
What about the who's a Tana who said never even enjoyed a pinky in this world?
Yeah, that means for his own personal enjoyment. The other of it, that fits perfectly. The Tana was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And the same Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Antoninus never had a table that was missing any vegetables summer and winter. So they really had, what's it called? Tosus asked the question. So Reb Tzadik says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't enjoy this world for his sake. He enjoyed it because the Rabban Shalom wanted. He did everything l'shem shamayim. If he enjoyed things in this world, it was because the Rabban Shalom wanted him to enjoy those things. And he was doing it not for the enjoyment, but to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem of having that enjoyment. So he lifted his 10 fingers and said, I didn't enjoy personally one thing in this world, because everything in the world I utilized to do Ratzon Hashem, and part of that Ratzon Hashem was the enjoyment. But it wasn't personal enjoyment, it was enjoyment l'shem shamayim. That's one way of understanding it. There's another possibility. And the other possibility is the following, that serving the Rabbanu Shel Olam, okay, and having that connection with the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the purpose of the mitzvahs. Okay? The purpose of the mitzvahs are not intrinsic to himself. Do mitzvahs for the sake of doing mitzvahs. We'll see when we go into the Mesillas Yesharim itself, we'll see that's very clear. The purpose of doing mitzvahs is to be on the level, to make yourself on a level where you're able to have that attachment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And that is the enjoyment. Okay, it's not a two-stage thing. You have an attachment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam and you enjoy it. The ultimate enjoyment is being on a level to have an attachment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, which is the enjoyment. So, therefore, when a person serves the Rabbanu Shel Olam with the intention of ennobling himself and doing that which is right and that which will attach him to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, then that is synonymous with the enjoyment of Olam Haba. But it's Lashem Shamayim. Not doing it for the enjoyment. I'm doing it because I want to ennoble myself and reach a level that I can attach myself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Right? Happens to be that that is the greatest enjoyment there can be. But I'm not doing it for the sake of the enjoyment. I'm doing it because that's the right thing to do. It's a little bit different than the first one. It's not difference in I haven't in the enjoyment in mind, but I'm doing it to do Ratzon Hashem. I don't have the enjoyment in mind b'chlal. But the attachment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam happens to be synonymous with that enjoyment. So if I do it, l'shem, right? If I'm doing it as a schar, in other words, I'm doing these things, I'm going to get some reward for it. The reward of the world to come. That's what the Rambam says, that's Shalom v'shma. But if I'm doing this for the sake of doing these mitzvahs, and that happens to be the greatest enjoyment, then there's no stira. I'm doing it for the right reason, and happens to be that is the enjoyment. It's not a reward for the mitzvah, it is the mitzvah. That's what it means, schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Whether you're doing it, the shame mitzvah, and you understand that the reward and the mitzvah are synonymous, then there's no difference between doing it, the shame mitzvah, and doing it, the shame hanoah. Hanoah and the mitzvah are synonymous. So the shame mitzvah means the shame hanoah. But if I think that I'm doing the mitzvah because I want to get hanoah, the mitzvah is not the goal. The goal is the enjoyment, then it's Shalom Lishma. Because then I'm doing the mitzvah for an ulterior motive. But if I understand that the mitzvah is the enjoyment, so I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, not for any ulterior motive, the mitzvah itself is this greatest enjoyment of attaching myself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, then there's no two stages. It's not I'm doing the mitzvah for an ulterior motive. I'm doing the mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah. It happens to be mitzvah is synonymous with attachment and enjoyment of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's different answer. Any questions on that? Yeah.
Isn't there a chazal that tells us that the reward, the schar for the mitzvah, goes into the tirach of the difficulty of doing it?
Yeah, because that makes you attach more when you put effort into something, right? So it attaches you to that thing more. So it's not again, it's not a two-stage thing. It's not you do mitzvah and you get a reward for the mitzvah you did. By doing the mitzvah is your reward. The mitzvah is what attaches you to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's not a two-tiered thing. Once it becomes, right, the difficulty makes you more attached. Right? Just like doing the mitzvah better makes you more attached. And doing it with more effort makes you more attached too.
Should that approach be applied to all mitzvahs?
Yeah. Now, for all avodas Hashem. I'm not doing this for the sake of something else. I'm doing this for its sake. Even but it happens to be, its sake is the enjoyment.
Even if there's a logic, like visiting the sick, for instance, you know you're doing, there's a purpose behind it, visiting the sick, you come to...
No, I'm doing, Nechanami, but that's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants me to do, and by doing that, by visiting the sick, by comforting people, I become more godlike and attach myself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Right? It's all part of the same thing. All mitzvahs make me more godlike, and attach me to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. How does it work? Right? Because, like you said, visiting the sick, I'm compassionate, I'm helping somebody else, whatever, that makes me more godlike, and memela, the purpose of that mitzvah, right, everything taken in consideration, is to attach myself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And that's my intention. And that happens to be a pleasure. That's not Shalom Lishma. That is all included in that mitzvah. It's a little bit different than the first thing. Right? Because there you're doing it for an ulterior motive, but the ulterior motive is what Ratzon Hashem is. Here, there's no ulterior motive at all. They are synonymous. There's a third idea. This one needs a little bit more explanation. There's a concept of avodas perech. Avodas perech is work that is backbreaking, debilitating, negative. Okay, that's the kind of avoda they did in Mitzrayim. Now, how much work makes it debilitating, and how much work can be exhilarating? The answer is, it doesn't make a difference how much. It depends on really one factor. Is there a purpose in what you're doing? Is there a goal in it? Or is it without any purpose? And that's clear halachically, because there's an issur in the Torah, lo sirdenu b'ferech leinecha. You're not allowed to work an eved ivri avodas perech. So we have to know what it is. It has to be defined, otherwise it can't be an issur. So the Rambam defines, really Gemara, the Rambam says it clearly, what is avodas perech? Work that has no, no limit, and memela, no purpose. Work just for the sake of working. It has no goal to it, there's no purpose to it, you don't accomplish anything with it. It's just work to keep busy. That kind of work is called avodas perech. Okay? That explains, and that kind of work is debilitating. And that's exactly what Paro wanted Jews to do in Mitzrayim. It says they built Pitzom and Ramses on sand, and it constantly fell down. Every time they finished it, it fell in, and they had to build it again. I mean, Paro wasn't stupid. Why in the world would he want them to do something futile? The answer is because he wanted to keep them slaves, and if they would feel accomplishment, that would give them an exhilarating feeling, and they would think about becoming free. But when they constantly work with no purpose, that broke their spirit completely. The proof to that is that when Paro thought that they were thinking about, you know, freedom when Moshe came, and he wanted to take that feeling away and again, break them down. So what did he say? I'm not going to give you straw, and you're going to have to work double hard and produce the same quota of bricks. Okay? Now, Paro was not an idiot. Paro should have said, I'm going to make you work double hard and produce a double quota of bricks. Then he would have had the double quota of bricks. He would have the work finished faster, he would have more things. Why make them work double hard and give the same quota of bricks? It doesn't make sense. The answer is, that's exactly the point. Paro did not want them to feel a feeling of accomplishment. And therefore, he wanted them to work double hard and feel that they accomplished absolutely nothing more. That's debilitating. That's avodas perech. In fact, there's a story told of a prisoner in a Soviet prison that they told him that there was a handle that he had to revolve, this handle, 8 hours a day in his cell. And they told him there was a mill on the other side of the wall that this handle, was connected to. And he was milling wheat on the other side of the wall. After 10 years in the Soviet prison, he was let free. And he asked the guards, before I go, can you take me to the other side of the wall? I just want to see the mill that I've been running for 10 years, 8 hours a day. And they laughed. And they took him to the other side of the wall, and they showed him that the handle's connected to nothing. For 8 hours a day, he was revolving this handle for absolutely no purpose at all. And he said, in retrospect, it was more difficult for him to accept the fact that he wasted 10 years of his life accomplishing nothing than being 10 years a prisoner in the jail. That was more debilitating. That's called avodas perech. With that, I want to explain something.
But he didn't know that. So in his mind,
yeah, but now he found out. It burst that bubble. But now he found out that it was all an illusion. And he actually accomplished nothing in those 10 years. At least he thought, I accomplished something. Like somebody's eating that wheat that I ground. Somebody's eating that flour. And here he saw no, there was absolutely no accomplishment at all. It kept him going for 10 years. But retroactively, it was like a burst of that bubble. He wasted 10 years and accomplished nothing. Yeah, okay. The Svarim bring down, they say a different idea, but I have a different way of explaining it. The Svarim bring down that Perech in Esbash, if you transpose Aleph to Tav, Beis to Shin, and so on, that's called Esbash, So Perach becomes Vogel. Nothing to do with Yonah. The Vav Gimel Lamed, right? What's the significance of Vav Gimel Lamed? That it adds to 39. And there's a connection between the Lamed Tes Melachos of Shabbos and Avodas Perach. What's the connection? The connection is, that's exactly the antithesis, the Esbash, like the mirror image of Perach is the 39 Melachos. Why? Because Perach is work with absolutely no purpose, purposeless work. And the other hand, what's it called, Shabbos, the Melachos of Shabbos are the work with the greatest purpose, because those are the Melachos that built the Mishkan that brought the Rabbanu Shlomo's presence in this world. There's no greater purposeful work than the Lamed Tes Melachos of Shabbos that went into building the Mishkan. So the antithesis, the Esbash of Perach is the 39 Melachos of Shabbos. Fits this idea very nicely. With that, I always like to bring up the following point. And that is, if that's the definition of Avodas Perach, then women are constantly involved in Avodas Perach. Right? Women's work is Avodas Perach. Right? How so? And it could be for that reason a man makes a bracha shlos on the isha. Right? If you don't look at it the right way. Right? It's possible to say, what's a woman's work? She makes a meal. Right? She doesn't frame it and put it in a museum and they, what's it called, you know, look at it for the next 20 years. People eat it. And then it's gone, finished. Okay? She cleans the house, right? And then gets dirty again. She washes clothing in order that people should wear it and gets dirty again. There's nothing that is preserved from a woman's work. Right? It's all what's it called? Very, very quickly dissipated. Okay? And she has to do it again. So it seems like Avodas Perach. Right?
What about art?
One second. I always like to say that when we were younger and we had all these little kids around the house, so I would leave the house in the morning. It brings out the point good. So I'd leave the house in the morning and the house would be a mess, and I come back at night and the house would be the same mess. So I would say to my wife, "What's going on?" And she would say, "You can't believe this." She said, "I had the house perfectly in order, and the kids came home from school and turned it upside down again." And sometimes I believed her. So, it's possible that that's what happens. So, Lamaisa, it seems like purposeless work. The answer is that you have to look at what the goal is. A woman's work is not cleaning clothes, making meals, whatever. She's creating a home, right, an atmosphere, an environment between her and her husband, between her and her children, between her and her community. Right? A woman creates a home. Part of creating a home, the means to do it, is to wash clothing and to clean the house and whatever. But that's not the goal. If you look at those things as the goal, then in a chanami, it's avodas perach, because it's purposeless work. But if you look at the goal of creating a home, Torah environment that influences the community, that influences her husband, then what's it called? Then it's purposeful work. Because the purpose isn't the meal. Purpose isn't the clean clothing. The purpose is through those things, those are just means to reach an end. The end is creating an environment, a home environment, Torah home environment. And if you look at it like that, all these other things are only means to reach an end. They're not an end in itself, and the end result is the greatest purpose.
Why do we say Shulchan?
That's other reason. That's not the reason, right? You want another reason? You want to be pregnant? Right. A woman's role is very, very difficult. Right, and no man would want to switch places with most women. Okay. What? Okay, and I didn't ever say I want to be a woman. I might admit it 100%. What's the busha? What? Fine, they can keep their bina yisera. Everybody should be happy what they are. not to try to be somebody else or something else or whatever.
The,
Okay, in any case, what does this all have to do with the Mesillas Yesharim? What has to do with Mesillas Yesharim is the following. L'cha'ora, Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell Paro the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, he told them they want to go 3 days out in the desert and v'nizbech ol Hashem Elokeinu. But Klal Yisrael, he told what the ultimate purpose was. The reason was there was no purpose to tell Paro what the goal was because it had nothing to do with it. So he just told him our part in the Geula. Our part in the Geula is we want to go out for 3 days. If the Rabbanu Shlom then will decide if he wants to take us out or not. If he wants to take us beyond that. Right? So our part in Geula is doing what we can do to deserve the Geula. We don't guarantee the Geula. So therefore, we had to ask Paro to do our part. Our part was to go out for 3 days, the Nizbech Ol Hashem. Have a shot what that means. 3 days in Nizbech. I'm going to say it because otherwise the thing won't make any sense. Right? L'chora, we told Paro we want to go out for 3 days in the desert to sacrifice. And that is our part. If God sees that we're able to do that, then he will judge us fit to be redeemed, and he'll redeem us. If we don't, can't do that, then he won't redeem us. So we didn't have to ask Paro permission for God's part. We only had to ask him permission from our part. Our part was 3 days in the desert and sacrifice. Now, l'chora, that never happened. We never went 3 days in the desert and sacrificed anything. So it wasn't true. The answer is it was true. The way I understand it is the following. What happened 3 days in the desert? The first day we went out was Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, which is the third day, we got the command to turn back and go back to Egypt. Meaning that Klal Yisrael didn't know that this was all a ruse to get the Egyptians to chase after us or whatever. They thought that was it, right? We 3 days and now it's time to go back. And the Rabban Shem said, turn around and go back. And a lot of them made a big ruckus, but only because they were afraid of the Egyptians, not because they didn't want to listen to the Rabban Shem to go back. They didn't say, no, we're not going back. They agreed to go back. What does that mean? That's the greatest sacrifice. Nizbecha doesn't have to be an animal sacrifice. Even animal sacrifices are ultimately just an expression of sacrificing yourself. The greatest thing they had was freedom. The Rabban Shem now told them, I want you to sacrifice your freedom. Meaning that if you understand that freedom is the ability to listen to the Rabban Shalom, that you're willing even to give it up for the sake of the Rabban Shalom. If you understand that freedom is doing what you want, then you're not going to give it up for anything. So I want you to go 3 days out in the desert and sacrifice. And if you're able to make that sacrifice, then you're fit to be redeemed, and I'll redeem you. If you're not able to make that sacrifice, you're not. That's what the Rabban Shalom meant. It didn't actually become obvious until it all happened. But this was the intention of the Rabban Shalom. That's the 3 days in the desert sacrificing. So the Rabban Shalom didn't tell Paro anything more than our part in the redemption. Our part in the redemption was to go out for 3 days and to deserve being redeemed. But the actual redemption is God's business, and God doesn't have to ask Paro permission to do his thing. If he wants to redeem us, he'll redeem us. We're Paro's slaves. We have to ask him permission. That's very nice. Then why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people the purpose of the redemption? If our part was only to go out for 3 days and sacrifice, then just tell us that too. Why do you have to tell us, and the Rabban Shem will take you into Eretz Yisrael or whatever? Why all of that at this point? Tell me that later after God decides if he wants to do his part or not. Why do you have to tell me what God's part is? Tell me what my part is. The answer is that for the sake of the Jewish people, the Rabban Shem told us his part, not because we should know that we're doing it for the sake of that. We should know what the tachlis is. When you do something and you don't know what the tachlis is, then it lessens the importance of what you're doing. If you know that there's a tachlis in this, if you do this, God is going to do this, and the goal is very, very important, then the goal makes every part of getting to that goal more important. Right? If you're digging at the seaside and you're just digging to make a sandcastle, right, then it's not very important digging. Right? But if you're digging because there's diamonds buried under the sand, then your digging becomes much more important. The goal makes the the means to reach that goal more important. The less important the goal, the less important the means. The more important the goal, the more important the means. So the Rabbanu Shalom wanted us, Enochanami, we didn't have to know what God is going to do, but we had to know that we're doing our part in order that ultimately, if the Rabbanu Shalom is going to take us out, it's going to be a tremendous goal over here that makes my part much more important. So that was a tachlis. Meila, the Rambam says like this, if I serve the Rabbanu Shalom for the sake of Olam Haba, that's Shalom Lishma. But I have to know there's an Olam Haba. I have to know what the goal is. I'm not doing it for that purpose, but I'm doing that with that in mind. That's the difference. I'm not doing it because I want Olam Haba. Every answer we gave till now is that there is a way of wanting Olam Haba, and that should be L'Shem Shamayim. And I'm saying no. There's no way that wanting Olam Haba should be L'Shem Shamayim. I want to do it because it's the right thing to do. But I have to know there's an Olam Haba. I have to know that there's a pleasure. I'm not doing it for that. But I'm doing that with that in mind, that that is the goal, and the nail it makes everything I do much more important. I'm not doing it to get that pleasure. But since I know that the goal is to have that attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom, which is the ultimate pleasure, it gives importance to every step along the way. So those are the three or four different possible ways of explaining why, if the purpose of creation is the Chorah, because God wanted to shower that pleasure, right? And that's what I have in mind, then why isn't that the Shalom L'Shem Shamayim? So basically we said, either you can get the pleasure to fulfill God's will. I don't want the pleasure for the sake of the pleasure. I want the pleasure because God wants me to have the pleasure. That was one answer. Second answer was, it's not that I want the pleasure altogether. I want to do the mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah. But mitzvah and spiritual pleasure are one and the same. If I'm doing it because the mitzvah will lead me to that pleasure, that's not altruistic. That's shalom lishma. I'm doing it for an ulterior motive. But if I'm doing it because the mitzvah is the pleasure, then I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. But mitzvah means the pleasure of having that attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom. They're one and the same. Okay, that's a second answer. And the third answer is what we said now, that the idea is that I'm not doing it for the sake of Olam Haba at all. Right? I'm doing it for the sake that the mitzvah is the right thing to do. No thought of Olam Haba as a reason to do the mitzvah. But I have to be aware that there is a goal to this mitzvah. Ultimately, the mitzvah will lead me to an attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom, and that makes the mitzvah all more important. I'm not doing it for the sake of the goal, but I'm doing it with the goal in mind, with the goal as an understanding that there's a purpose to this. The more the purpose, the more that makes what I'm doing important.
In a sense, can't you combine all three reasons?
Yeah. And have it all if you want to, you can.
No,
they're all, they're not separate ideas. They're all aspects of the same thing. Right? And you can look at it from different perspectives. But basically, the final answer is, I'm not doing it for an ulterior motive. Whatever I'm doing for the sake of that mitzvah, and that includes all these ideas.
Rav Chaim Volozhin says, you know, in Rav Chaim, that you're doing it because you want, I want to give Hashem like nachas because He wants to give me reward.
Well, that was the first answer. I'm not doing it because I want the pleasure, like by Shabbos. I'm doing it because the Rabbanu Shalom wants to give me that pleasure. And in order to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, I have to get that pleasure.
No, because he says if you want to test if you're doing it lishma, is what it would be if Hashem would you say, here, do this, but I'm giving somebody else the reward.
Okay, right? Same thing.
And then you can see, I'm just doing it for Hashem to get. I'm not, I just have to give me the reward.
Exactly. And I don't care if I get the pleasure or not, but if God wants me to have the pleasure, I want to enable Him to do what He wants to do. Right, so if He wants to give somebody else the pleasure, or He wants to give me tzaras because of it, I'm willing to do that too. I'm just wanted to fulfill whatever the Rabbanu Shalom wants from me. Yeah, that's the first answer, basically.
There's another answer. Again, it's similar, but it's a different knage. That the parameters of what I do, machavasav olamo, is things that are going to bring me to Olam Haba. The reason I'm doing it is only because Hashem wants me to do it. Machavasav olamo is talking about, you know, getting Olam Haba is just a gather of what it is that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And the Mela. I don't hear how. Am I supposed to have a kavana for Olam Haba or not?
The reason why you're doing it, the purpose of why you're doing it is not. You're doing it because Hashem wants you. what it is that I'm doing. I'm going to do things that I know are going to lead me to Olam Haba because that's what Hashem wants me to do.
Okay, I don't hear that. It's either the first teretz or it's the last teretz. One of the two. Yeah, okay. I don't hear exactly how it's different, but I hear the thing. And in any case, that answers another question. And we'll end with this. With Chora, if all this is for great pleasure, what's Chovasa? What is your benefit, your schus in this world? Mas chuso shel adam ba'olamo. What's chovasa to get pleasure? Right? I have a chova, and what's the chova? Pleasure. It doesn't fit. Right? And if the whole idea is that the Rav Moshe wants to shower pleasure, then Torah and mitzvahs is not an all, it's a benefit. Like we always say. The answer is, it's a chova. You have to do this because the Rav Moshe wants you to do it, and the Rav Moshe wants you to have that pleasure. I'm not doing it for the pleasure. It's a chova. I am the chuyiv to do these things because the Rebbeinu Shem wants to give me that pleasure. So ultimately, the reason I'm doing it is a chova. It's not a schus. I'm not doing it for the schus. I'm doing a chova because the Rebbeinu Shem wants me to have that schus. But ultimately, it's chovaso, shalom, and bolamo. I have to fit into Ratzon Hashem. And Ratzon Hashem is, he wants me to have this pleasure. So I'm doing Ratzon Hashem. I'm not doing it for the sake of the pleasure. Right, and that's called a chova. That's not called a schus. If it's in there with the idea of chovaso shel adam bi'olamo.